And we should be live. Welcome, everyone, to episode 2 of Bricks and Brits. Back once again this week, and I'm joined once again. My name's Brickitect, as you know, but I'm joined by some fabulous guys from all the way across the pond. We, of course, have Cut the Craggle.
Hello there.
And we have Rogue Runner.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, man. And it's awesome. We're happy to be back with you guys. We don't really have, like, a format for this.
Oh, we lost Greg.
That's me. Uh-oh. I was trying to use... We've already failed. I have all of my audio going through headphones right now to make everything sound better. And I'm trying to have YouTube chat up so I can see people's comments as well. That's out the window at this point. But that's okay. My failure is forever marked in this episode.
I just like how we don't really have a format for this. Silence. Thanks, again next week.
Maybe we should get a format for this, right?
Yeah, maybe.
I think we have a potential winner for comment of the day. Isaac Booker saying, OMG, Rogue is Mickey Palpatine. I knew he was evil.
Oh, yeah. We should start off by saying we need to give proper credit here. And everyone in the chat needs to give credit to Craggle for the amazing artwork that he did for us. Not only on the thumbnails, but also for our characters as well. I think everyone's looking fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Dude, these are brilliant. And I think, yeah, you truly captured how I look in real life. So thank you very much for the.
I love it. It's so good. It's fantastic. So, yeah, props to Craggle for that. He's like, if it was up to me, we'd just have like nothing for it was literally just the flag with Bricks and Brits on it from last time. Yeah. Craggle's like, nah, we're gonna make this good, and he took it to the next level. So thank you for that, Mr. Craggle.
You will never have to see my Disney castle ever again.
Oh yeah, I like this format too, because I think this makes us all look like uniform, and I like that. So
definitely.
Yeah. So what's new with you guys? What's going on in the world with you?
Should we go first, Rogue?
No, you go first, Rogue.
Oh, how kind of you, good sir. Thank you very much.
This is so UK.
I raise my hat to you, good sir. I've been taking a bit of break from uploading in the past week just to sort of reset myself and kind of do what like Craggles said he's done, for example, with his new channel, Craggles Den. That's a big plug for you. it's a good thing where if you record a couple of videos before you start uploading, it helps like kind of maintaining consistency with your channel. And that's something I do struggle with quite a lot. So I'm just trying to kind of, you know, sort myself out a bit in terms of my channel, be a bit more consistent. Having a few uploads done before I start, you know, releasing them, it does help quite a bit. I haven't been buying too many sets. I've kind of stopped buying Lego sets recently. I'm doing more Bricklink orders, which is unusual for me. But again, I just kind of find it fun just to work my own projects and, you know, do my own things. But that's kind of what's new with me.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Are you working on a particular mock, aren't you? That's what you're doing the Britling orders for.
So I'm building Doc Ondars from Galaxy's Edge, you know, in Star Wars Land in Disneyland, Florida, and in California as well. I've made 2 Britling orders so far, with a third and a million more along the way. It's looking good, and just trying to get, work on that done before. You know, I've not really got a deadline, but I kind of want to get it done as soon as possible, but still trying to maintain the quality of the build. So just been working on that pretty much for the last 2 weeks.
Very nice.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I haven't uploaded this week, which is like the first time in a long time that I've done a week without a single video, but I've just been sort of juggling getting stuff ready for my new second channel, Craggle's Den. So whereas Cut the Craggle looks at all stuff Lego, Craggle's Den just explores my other hobby, which is just generally collecting stuff, a lot of Funko Pops, comics, action figures, memorabilia, all kinds of like cool and geeky stuff. So I've just been getting that ready. Like I've had a few of them already uploaded, but juggling that and also my day job and this horrible heat we had in the UK over the last week. Our country is not designed for the kind of heat that we had. Like I was telling a DJ Innerblade in a week like how hot it was, and he was like, that's nothing. I was like, yeah, but you have to understand our houses aren't built for this kind of heat. we have
no air conditioning, right?
No air conditioning.
Not at all, like, you know, it just we just melt. It's just horrible.
The UK detectors right now are like, oh, I relate to this.
It's cool to see Craggle's Den. I really like, you know, it's a cool idea, and you know, you're a really big collector as well, so it's cool to see different things in your collection as well.
I'm
especially
excited
from like, you know, I know you're a big fan of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, for example. You know, you've got a lot of cool things in that franchise. Funko Pops as well.
Ghostbusters.
So Ghostbusters, of course. It's cool to see different highlights of your collection, which is really cool. Yeah,
so I've only got two videos up at the moment, like, that are public. One is like the trailer, which shows you a few things from upcoming videos that I've already shot and got on there. And I've done one with a Funko Pop. I've got another one coming up on this following Monday that's scheduled already. At the moment, I'm saying it's going to be weekly videos, but what I might start doing it like twice a week, depending on like how much I can juggle that with Cut the Craggle, because I don't want to have Cut the Craggle sort of fall to the wayside because I'm focusing on Craggles then. But at the same time, kind of like yourself, I haven't bought any new Lego for a while. It's a lot of sets that I'm looking forward to, but they also be coming out next year for some reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if this is, I don't necessarily believe this, but I kind of just think this is a bit of a weak summer wave, in my opinion, overall. Like, yeah. Star Wars is a big letdown for me this summer, if I'm honest. Lego Star Wars, I'm really not impressed with the summer wave, if I'm honest.
I find myself just wanting, like, the minifigs from all the Star Wars sets.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, like I'm literally staring at my AAT on my shelf. I'm just like, the new one, it just doesn't compare, and it's a decade apart. And it's
I was gonna get the new one just for Ahsoka until you ruined it for me. When you talk about, like, all the little errors, and then once I saw those, I was like, this is garbage. I don't want this. Like, you know?
Is there a quality issue with that one as well? I feel like I saw a photo on Instagram or something where there was paint chipping off of it fairly easily. Or
is something I have seen is a lot of people getting misprints. In the new Star Wars sets, like, I've seen a lot of misprinted helmets, things like that. So, I don't know. There's something wrong there. But how's your week been, Greg? How's it been going?
Oh, it's been good. My nephew turned 16 this week, so we spent some time. Oh, nice. Came over here. They actually arrived last week, right when this show started, and he stayed for a couple of days along with their family, and then we went camping and we did a whole bunch of fun stuff with them. So it was a lot of non-Lego for me this week. But I did get a couple Lego things, I guess, since we're on the topic. I got the Lego duck. Lego House exclusive, which was really cool.
Nice.
I'm sending one to Brixar because I know he really wanted one as well. Or Jabbo. I keep calling it. I felt so bad. Like, I was editing my video yesterday when I made that, and I was like, I called him Brixar this entire video, and he goes by Jabbo now. And it's like old habits die hard. And I've always just called him Brixar. So I was like, oh, shoot. I don't think he minded, though. So I got that. And Rogue, you're going to be excited. In mail yesterday, we also got the Mario starter set, which I know you have and enjoyed thoroughly.
It's such a fun set.
She was like, is that the one that Rogue had that was making all the noises? I was like, it is. And I'm going to make a soundboard of this.
Yeah, but he was only doing it to, like, wind up my fiance because hers was a pre-order that hadn't dispatched. Oh, she's got hers now anyway, so she's happy. But yeah, Rogue the Tormento.
I'm worried that this is going to be a dangerous path for me to get down because I'm going to really like this set and I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to get another one and another one.
I can't follow.
I'm going to have the whole set up eventually, probably.
Didn't that happen, like, or is that happening to Shy? I seem to remember that he was kind of like dismissive of it and only got the star kit to go with the NES. And then he had so much fun with it that he wants to get a few more of the packs now.
I guess that's like a success story, though, for Lego, right?
Yeah.
Like, this guy was skeptical, and he gets it, and he loves it, and then he's just dishing out money to him.
I mean, what I'm excited to see is a lot of the custom courses people are going to make for Mario. Like, if for those who don't know, the bottom of the Mario figure, it's a color sensor. So if he's on, like, a blue brick or plate, it'll have, like, a water animation. Red is fire, and green is, like, grass. It'd be cool to see custom, like, course, I think Minecraft sets be quite cool for that because they have a lot of green pieces, blue pieces, you know, of like fields and stuff. So really excited to see what people do with the Mario figure and the technology behind it.
I accidentally killed my fiance's Mario because she was doing a game and I walked in like the room where she was playing and she thought it'd be funny mid-course to put Mario on top of my shoulder. But because I was in a red t-shirt, she reacted to that like fire. I'm sure he had like one life left, which had killed him or something. I don't know. I was like,
Can we get an F in chat for Cut the Craggle, please?
There's karma.
Victory is mine.
I'm excited to build that, though. I still haven't built my Nintendo. What am I waiting for? Like, I'm working on the Stranger Things set, and I still have like a couple bags left. So I'm like, I'm not gonna. I haven't been building anything. Like, we've been so busy. Like, summer is like, I find like Lego for me is almost seasonal. Like, once it gets cold outside, I got nothing else to do. So this is what my life is. But right now, I'm trying to soak in every little bit that I can because I know it's not going to last very long. Yeah. So, but I didn't want to jump onto another huge set before I have this one done. So I'm gonna like try to get this done so I can build what I'm considering to be my favorite Lego set that I've yet to build.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I haven't built Disney Castle yet.
I mean,
that Stranger Things set, I went to the midnight launch, drove there and back in one evening, in one night, come back in the hours of the morning, had 2 hours kip, woke up, and then built the Stranger Things set in one sitting.
How did you find that set? Not how did you find it, but how did you enjoy the set? Because what I'm noticing, Clark was building the normal part of it, and I was building the upside down. Yeah. And it's kind of like the same thing. So you building it all in one shot, did you find it to be repetitive having to go, like you finished one segment and then essentially had to go and rebuild that same thing?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, but because each one has kind of like his own elements to it, like having like the dripping, like the black, so it's got like, was it the black transparent pieces, trans black pieces and stuff like that, and the vines. And it's flipped, so there was a bit, you know, enough of variety in the build that it kept me interested in doing it.
Okay.
And I enjoyed seeing how they came together as well.
Yeah.
But I can see, you know, for some people that it could be a bit like, oh, I'm doing the same thing twice. But I didn't mind that so much. It's more when you have a build where you have to do like 20 of the same small assemblies in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas building two of the same or similar type structures didn't really bother me.
Sure, I get that. I think this is a fantastic set. If you, like you or your partner or, you know, father, son, whatever it is, if you have two people that really love Stranger Things and you both want to partake in this set, there's two manuals and it just works perfectly that the two of you could build together. Maybe even while watching the show, I think it would work really well for that.
Yeah,
for sure. I really like the way as well, the way the set's designed with how the two houses are put together using mm-hmm. the ball joint piece. I think that's a really clever thing I haven't personally seen on a set before. So I like, there's a lot of new things in there. And also that light brick feature is really cool. And I'm very tempted if I built that just to just sing the song while doing that.
Just to say that the designer, Justin Ramsden, is in fact British. So,
you know. Yes, there you go.
And like, to be honest, he has designed some of the best Lego sets in recent memory, actually.
Yeah, he designed the Hogwarts Castle, for example. Welcome to Apocalypseburg, he designed. Some really good stuff.
Wouldn't that be amazing to be the guy that designed a Lego set, regardless of what it is, just to be that person? I mean, you could do that essentially with Lego Ideas. You could be that guy.
It was really funny because when I went to the midnight launch, like I knew I was meeting the designer and I knew the name was Justin Ramsden and he was going to be, you know, signing the set. Officially, we didn't know it was a Stranger Things set, but, you know, it was pretty much a given by that point. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until I saw him there, like standing there, that I realized years before I watched a documentary on Channel 4 in the UK where they were like showing Lego were looking for a new designer. And it was kind of almost like Pop Idol, I guess. But rather, it wasn't interactive. It was all pre-filmed and shot like a documentary. And it was showed like this one guy going over to Denmark and going for the interview amongst others. And then he was the one who got it. It was really weird. Then they go, oh, wait, that's the guy from that program all those years back, you know, doing good for himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a transition here. I have a quick follow-up on, unless we have anything else we want to talk about that happened this week.
Nah.
Anything else amazing? Any groundbreaking things happen?
I don't know. I found an egg in the shape of Yoda's head.
I mean, we should have started the show with that. I got a pressure washer. That's pretty cool. Yeah. This show's gone downhill. I'm just kidding. I want to have a quick follow-up on last week's episode. We talked a little bit about the term tea, which do you guys want to describe what tea is for you? Like Craigle gave me a quiz and he said, what is tea to you? Is it something you drink, something you eat, or something that you hit a golf ball off of? And I said, basically number one and three, but it can also be food apparently.
That's right. Yeah. It's a term that we use in the UK for the afternoon or evening meal. So basically you can use tea to also mean your dinner. Basically.
Right.
So you can say breakfast, lunch, and tea.
Breakfast, lunch, and tea. And yeah. I had no idea this is a thing, which is why I think this whole podcast or stream is awesome, because I'm learning a lot through this and I imagine there's other people that are as well. Plus this is all the UK people can totally relate. But it just so happened to be we had that conversation last Saturday. And at one point during this week, I was reading Clark one of the Thomas books that we got sent in the mail. And in there was a line, and I'll read it to you guys here, that it was like crazy that this came up, but it says, the train was going so fast that his hat blew off into a field where a goat ate it for his tea. And for me to read that without having the context of the show from the week before, I would have had no idea what they meant by that. But because of Cut the Craggle and Rogue Runner here, I know that when he ate it for his tea, it makes sense. And I thought that was really cool. So
your training is almost complete.
Yes. I'm working on becoming a Jedi UK attector. But this gave us the idea where we would do something like that each week, where a Craggle or Rogue would ask me a question that I probably don't know the answer to, and then educate me on what that actually is. So we're going to make that like a thing, apparently.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've got a few prepared questions already. Did you want to save those to later, or do you want to go into them now?
Let's go into it. Let's see what we got here. I think it'll be a good conversation starter.
Oh, a Rogue One is back now. Where'd you go, Rogue?
Sorry about that, guys. Just some stuff. Yeah, very sorry about that, guys.
Oh, no worries.
There's no toilet breaks mid-podcast, you know?
I'm sorry. I had a massive glass of water.
Child's bladder.
You didn't miss anything, Rogue.
you caused awkward silence. The first one.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
I think he was going to have some tea, possibly. Drinking it and or eating.
Well, on the topic of stuff that you put in your... Well, actually, I won't say that now. Anyway... Okay, so here's a question for you, Greg.
Okay.
No one help him in the chat now, okay?
I'm not cheating at all, I promise.
Okay, don't look at the chat. What is a Scotch egg?
A Scotch egg. Okay.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Excellent question.
I'm assuming it's some type of food. I want to say it's I have no idea. Should I guess?
You're on the right line. You're on the right lines.
Okay, so some type of food, Scotch egg. Is it it's a special type of egg from a bird. Is it an ostrich egg?
No, it's not.
Oh. Is it an egg filled with alcohol?
No, but that sounds awesome.
Okay.
I mean, can you imagine how drunk the chicken would come out of that egg?
Absolutely.
Oh, my
God. Scotch egg. I have no idea. What is a Scotch egg?
A Scotch egg is a hard-boiled egg wrapped in sausage meat and then covered in breadcrumbs.
That sounds amazing.
It really is. I do. They're awesome.
I would be all over that. If that comes up in the Thomas book this week, I'm going to be like blown away.
I mean, they do often have like, I remember, do you know Famous Five in the Blighton stories? Do you have those over there?
Famous Five?
Yeah.
Famous Five. Classic.
No.
They're not living up to their name then, are they?
No, they're not famous here, at least.
Yeah, they used to always have picnics in there. And they used to have things like slices of Scotch egg because you can like serve it like sliced as well.
Okay.
So here's a second question for you.
Okay.
What is someone doing if they go to spend a penny?
If they go to spend a penny. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for us, going to spend a penny would be you go to the store and buy something for a penny, like a piece of penny candy or something like that. To spend a penny, is it like a day off, like a vacation? I'm gonna go spend a penny sitting on the beach.
Is that your final answer?
Can I phone a friend?
You can ask Rogue, but you can't take the answer.
Okay, I guess that's my final answer.
I'm afraid that is also incorrect.
Oh!
If you are going to spend a penny, you are urinating.
Okay.
Because it actually has a logical reason for it. It comes from, I think it was like the 19th century. It was basically when they introduced the first public toilets in London. And they used to cost one penny to use. So the phrase came about that I'm going to go spend a penny.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So there you go.
But you don't use pennies, though, do you?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Pence. Yeah. Pounds and pence.
You got 1p, 2p, 5p.
I know they're called pence, but do you use the term pennies, though?
Yeah. Only normally if it's like one or two, you'll call it penny. You won't say like 50 penny.
Okay, we say like 50 cents. Is that your version of pence? Or like,
yeah.
Or am I just...
50, yeah, like 50p or 50 pence, yeah.
I'm going to have to start reading some books here before we do this because you guys are just taking me to school here. you said we have one more here?
We have one final question for
you. Okay,
I'm
going to get this one right.
What is a quid slang for?
A quid.
Hyping Greg for chat. Come
like,
on.
I know. Like you say, like that cost me 50 quid. It's like how we would say bucks as opposed to dollars. Instead of saying pounds, you say quid.
Absolutely correct.
I got one right. Woo! He threw me the softball. It's funny how there's so many similarities. You know, where it's like pence, cents, bucks, quid. It's just currency, I guess, right?
Yeah.
One out of three, we'll take it.
I'm failing miserably, but yeah, I think that's fun.
Hey, that's one more than you got right last time. So
it is. Yeah. It is. Here's an idea. After this video goes out, if you guys want to leave a comment on this, like after it's up, and you leave a question for next week, I won't cheat ahead of time or anything like that, and Craggle can pick whichever ones that he wants. That way, in case Craggle runs out of questions to ask, we'll have you guys ask, all the people from the UK, you ask a question, and I'll try to answer it next time.
Quizzing with Craggle. That sounds
great.
I think that'd be pretty fun. So do you guys have things like you have a penny still, right? Because I saw someone in the chat said they're from Canada, and I saw a thing on this that they don't use pennies anymore because they're so worthless and they cost more to produce than they're worth that they just don't bother anymore.
Yeah, I think there will be a time when we stop using the penny and even pound coins. I think there'll be a time where it's either just either notes or like wireless, like, you know, like contactless banking. I don't think coins will be a thing forever.
Yeah.
We can use like pennies from time to time, like, 10p, 5p, 1p, not so much. But 10p's, you know, every now and then.
It's almost difficult to find anything that's less than a dollar or a pound, right? Like, how many?
Like a small bottle of water for like maybe 30, 40p, but that's about it, really.
But it's going to the point now. Like, I remember, like, if I went to the shop, I would get like a packet of crisps for 26 pence. Now it's like more like 72. So it's not that far from when it's going to be a pound. You know, you go into a supermarket, most stuff is a pound at the cheapest. So,
right.
But I feel like we would probably go completely cashless before we get rid of 1 and 2 pence pieces. Maybe I think that's just because we're stubborn in the UK in Great Britain.
I was just thinking the same thing too.
But like in Australia, they've gone rid of them, because I remember when I went to Australia, was it last time I went there was 2005. And they had recently gotten rid of 1 and 2 cents coins. So the lowest they had was 5 cents. But what was weird is that they still listed stuff as like $9.99, $19.99. Yeah. But you couldn't get that 1 cent change unless you bought 5 of them. It was like, what?
Oh my God.
It doesn't make any sense. I guess that's the other thing when they do get rid of these things, which is probably why people are reluctant to do it, is that they're probably just going to round everything up, right?
Yeah, so I've got another contender for kind of the day, Scout Trooper 117, saying, who remembers when Freddo, which are chocolate bars, were 10p?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like a chocolate bar, and it was just, the
I will send you some. They're made of dairy milk chocolate, so you'll love them.
Some Freddos. So it's
it was just whoever like pocket money and just going like a Freddo bar. It was really cool.
Taz's as well. They got rid of Taz's now. They're just caramel Freddos now.
Yeah, they're like 50p a pound now, Freddos. They've gone up quite a lot.
You just get 10 for a pound.
It's crazy.
Me and my friends, like when we were like in our sort of like mid to late teens, we used to like go down to what we called the Quickie Mart, because it's like a corner shop with like lots of like sweets and you sell newspapers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we used to buy loads of chocolate, like cheap chocolate. Yeah. Binge it all really quickly, down it then with a can of Pepsi, and go to the local park and spin each other around on the roundabout until one of us threw up.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a good time.
Well, there you go. Story time with Kyle Craig.
Now, is this a common UK activity that I should know about? Is this what people are doing on like a Friday night?
The views of Cut the Craggle.
We all established that Rogue grew up in Hogwarts or something, you know.
Did he really?
Oh, that was that one Quidditch match. We got so crazy. Like, honestly, the crowd was going wild. Honestly,
is your last name Malfoy? Please tell me no.
Maybe.
He's a lawyer. I told him not to say anything.
I'm contractually obliged to not reveal the surname.
Are you? Is your last name Brick Bros UK?
Oh, we're getting back
to reveal the origins on YouTube.
Generic Set has this comment here. He says there's always those coin dispensers which cost 1p and you can get decorated coins. Is that the one where they kind of like flatten it down and turn it into something really cool?
The thing is they don't anymore because what happens half the time, it says you put a penny in and a pound. So the pound they keep and the penny is what they flatten.
I wanted to ask you about, because I've seen these before and they always cost you like significantly more money than the thing that they're providing you.
Yeah, they used to be literally just a penny that you put in, you turn the handle, it squashed it down, and you had an oval shaped coin then with a special design on there. Sure. Everyone I've seen in recent years, it says £1 and one penny. So it's like,
I may or may not have done this several times at Disney World, going over the entire park to find press pennies.
We did one in Stroudsburg, which is like they have a railroad thing there, and I thought, oh, that'd be cool to flatten a penny. And I think it maybe just was like a quarter, so it wasn't super expensive to do, but it was essentially that. I guess you have to pay for the machine and whoever's manning it or whoever did it. But maybe it's like a draw to get people to come into your store. You should have it in like the back of your place after people walk through your all of your goods and such.
Yeah, yeah. I have like a box somewhere of just like press pennies from Disney World. Legoland did them as well.
Why am I not surprised?
It's kind of cool though. I mean,
your stamp collection.
Of course.
You know, you make jokes about stamp collections. I was thinking about how much space this whole Lego hobby takes. You know, I was thinking, like, wouldn't it be nice to collect something that didn't take an incredible amount of space, like stamps or coins or like pocket knives, you know, anything like that?
Yeah.
You know, I just collect instruction manuals and not the sets. I think that'll save me quite a lot of space.
Oh, yeah. Just instruction manuals.
Yeah.
Oh, this looks like it'd be so much fun to build. I wish I had the pieces for it.
That's right. I could just like throw away my Funko Pops and just keep the boxes flattened out, shouldn't I? You know?
Genius.
To be fair, there are people out there that do buy the instruction manual separately to have like references for building and stuff. I find it quite cool. Like people will go back and buy an instruction manual from like 1994 just to have that set for reference.
With anything that you collect, eventually it's going to take up space. Like you think of like, I know someone before who used to collect like special magazine. They used to do like, particularly in the '90s, they used to do magazines of like upcoming films. They were like only like 4 pages, and they used to then fold out then into a giant poster. And you know, he had so many of those that like he was ended up living in his spare room because his master bedroom was filled with these boxes of these magazines, and they're like so thin. They're like, you know, 2 millimeters each, but because he had so many of them, they just add up, you know.
Collecting is a dangerous thing, man.
Yeah,
honestly, yeah. Like, I collect Disney castles, so I've just had the Disney castle from California flown in, and yeah, it's taken up a few acres of space at least.
Wow. I knew Rogue was rich. I didn't know he was that rich.
It's Emperor Mickey. I have to have the whole empire together.
That's true.
Yeah. I remember the times before the empire.
Oh man, but yeah, it's cool stuff. But yeah, collecting's fun. It's just sometimes, yeah, it's managing it is the hardest part, you know.
Have you gotten rid of any more boxes yet, or just the advent calendars?
I haven't yet. Right now they're all flattened down, and I have them in like I took one of my big boxes and put all my other boxes inside a big one.
That's
and I don't need them. Like, it's not impacting me positively, negatively. Actually, more positively getting rid of them, because now I actually have space. But when you talked about the guy's house, like, overfilling, and he can't even, like, get into the room, that's how I really felt with my space here. And it just became almost like a burden to have these things. So collecting to me, you know, it's a good and bad thing, but it's definitely fun. Like, I love having these things.
Yeah.
It's a fun part of trying to organize it and storing everything away, you know, using Bricks as a database to, like, track your collection and stuff, you know. Like,
sure.
I recently got rid of loads of boxes, but I try to keep the nicer ones. So UCS sets, you know, like those sort of boxes. But yeah, if it's like a, you know, like a £20 set, like the Lego City shuttle set, I'll probably throw the box away.
I don't keep the boxes with Brickheads, mainly because I find that they're like thinner than cereal boxes. They're so thin and flimsy.
I don't like the ones that don't have tape on them. You know what I mean? Like, if they have the punch tab, that creates another issue as well. And for me, like, when you look at the boxes, sure, the artwork's cool and stuff, but the boxes are just so oversized for what's actually in there that it just seems silly to, like, have this. Like, I think of, like, the Disney train station box, and that box is just massive. And it's like, am I literally going to keep this for the rest of my life now? And I'm just like, I don't think I want that to be a part of my life, you know?
That's the problem with all kind of packaging, really. You know, you get like all these things when they're telling like the general public, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle. What they really need to do is go after all these packaging companies and get them to reduce the amount of packaging that they're putting these products in. I mean, the reason why those boxes are oversized is because they want you to think, oh, that box looks like it's worth £60 or $70 or whatever.
It's trying to justify it, basically.
Like, yeah,
10% of the size of the actual box, like.
Yeah,
the only reason boxes are accurate is those Lego art sets, like the mosaic, is the size of the box. Whereas, you know, Disney train station got a massive box. Train stations never near as big as the box. It's like,
but like what Craigle said, you walk in and this set's $300 or more. You're like, this little box? I'm not buying that for $300. No way. The thing that I feel bad about, though, is like I've lived this box life for so long, and this comment from Milan actually sums it up nicely. It says, Greg got me into keeping boxes and putting them on display. Now I'm addicted. And I wonder how many people out there are like that, where maybe they weren't thinking about it before, but they're like, oh man, he keeps his boxes nice. He opens them a particular way. It's so important to him. I'm going to start doing that too. And now all of a sudden I'm like, throw your boxes away, everyone. I feel like a hypocrite a little bit at this point, but it's just gotten to the point where I realized it wasn't sustainable. And now I don't know if I'd say, do whatever makes you happy. And for this,
how many lives do you think you've destroyed with your?
I like to help. I like to think that maybe I've helped like at least one more life than I've destroyed. And I want like just a little bit of a positive net gain here on my YouTube career, if I could get that. But
I feel like you need to start teaching life values in your videos.
Maybe like teaching kids to get a job.
And yeah.
Working at a young age and the importance of that stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like a lot of time. It's the main reason, really, a lot of time to keep the box is because it helps retain the set's value if you're going to sell it. Like, for example, I'm never going to sell my Disney castle, and I don't have the box anymore. You know, like
exactly. That's why I was saving mine. Like, I even save other product boxes too. I'm like, oh, if I ever sell this, it'd be nice to have the box with it. But then people have told me, they're like, well, go on to Bricks, or you go on to Bricklink, for example, and see what that box is worth. And if it, you know, if it's a $3 box, what's the point of holding on to it forever?
Unless I think the box is like really well designed. For example, the Steamboat Willie box, I say to this day, it's one of the best Lego boxes I've personally seen, just design wise.
Now, I reckon if all the boxes came like Lego Idea boxes, Greg wouldn't part with a single one.
I probably wouldn't. Like, I still love boxes. And I'll tell you this, if space wasn't an issue, like if I had some type of warehouse, like Brickitect warehouse, I wouldn't even consider throwing my boxes away. And I'll tell you, I was crushed a year ago when we got a little bit of water in our basement from this torrential downpour and some of my boxes got damaged. Like, it ruined like everything about, you know, I was just like so sad because the cardboard was kind of like crumply where that was and wavy. And it's like, these things are consuming me. And you can't do that, man.
And I mean, like, speaking of boxes and like, you know, wanting, you know, a $300 set in a big box, if this Colosseum is going to have 9,000 parts, rumoredly, how big is that box going to be?
You better bring a truck to the store.
In all fairness, the larger, like the 3,000 piece sets, they're normally pretty full. Those boxes, you know, like if you get like the Creator Expert, there's generally not a lot of empty space in those ones. It's more sort of like the 70, 80, 90 way, you know, it's like a third of the box has the bags in it. The rest of it, you could probably fold over on itself, you know? Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like I'm almost getting to the point where I'm going to have to start being more ruthless and getting rid of some of my boxes. But it's like, what ones do you decide to keep? What ones do you decide to get rid of? Lego Ideas, I think I definitely keep because they're designed like a premium product. You know, the way you open them up, you know, they're built to last. Whereas some of the other boxes that, you know, like you said, the punch tab ones, the ones that are really flimsy.
Yeah.
It's almost like an effort in itself trying to keep it intact, you know? So,
The Saturn V box, I think, was really cool as well from Lego Ideas. That was a really fun one. The Exo suit had a cool design. There's one called Wally, was a great one.
You know, I've kind of decided myself that I'm just going to save the promotional Lego set boxes, like the ones you couldn't get millions of, like you had to buy something on Lego during the month of March of 2018 or something. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I'm at on it, personally. Yeah.
That's a good show.
Yeah, because they're like the more kind of harder ones to find. Not as many people have them. You know, like everyone's going to have like a Lego City set.
Yeah. Whereas, I mean, speaking about, like you mentioned the Colosseum, do you want to mention about some of the couple of new sets that have been rumored this week at all?
Yeah,
sure. Let's talk rumors.
So one of them is the Colosseum that Rogue mentioned. Apparently it's going to be like the largest Lego set ever with 9,000 pieces. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the rumor. Yeah, so that one sounds interesting because it's just the architecture of the Colosseum itself. You know, it's, of course, a very large curved building. So that'll be kind of interesting how they get the build of that correct. And that'll be an interesting build. If it's 9,000 pieces, I'm very intrigued to see how big the thing is. Like,
yeah. I don't know if people are crying out for a Lego set of the Colosseum. And once again, it kind of falls into that sort of gray area of, should Lego really be making a set like this? Like, they won't do a set of, like, Notre Dame, for example, because it has religious connotations. Yet they'll do the Colosseum, which was the site of, like, religious, you know, persecution and death. Yeah.
Slavery.
Yeah.
Bloodshed, people dying. But you can't put a rescue helicopter out.
Yeah,
we mentioned it last week, Lego, you know, probably going to continue doing the whole landmark series, you know, like Big Ben, Tower Bridge, Taj Mahal, Statue of Liberty. So it's interesting to see they're doing the Colosseum.
What version is it going to be? Though? Is it going to be like the just kind of destroyed version that you'd see today, or would it be the original? Yeah.
I would imagine so, because what I imagine they do is they go for like a tourist angle, so they do it like, you know, as if like, you know, a landmark of the world, rather than do it as in like a period piece with gladiators and like, you know, Caesar and stuff like that.
That's actually kind of cool then, like to see it, like if you could build it the way it is and have like maybe like columns that are broken or fallen.
Yeah,
I think that'd be kind of neat actually.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be good. The line that Lego draws on what's suitable and isn't seems to be less of a line and more like a lava lamp. You know, it just...
it's bubbling.
It just changes and it melds and squishes to whatever they want. So, like, when they say, like, oh, we can't do this because of that, and then they do something else, it's just...
It's crazy,
You know, it boggles the mind a little bit.
Where do people draw the line as to what they complain about, too? It's like, can you not put the Saturn V out because a few astronauts have died in space? Where do you draw the line? Or is it just war-based things? Which, Colosseum, not necessarily war, but wars happened within it, basically. So, I don't
know. I mean, it's something that's going on for a while. And they said before that with like Lego ideas, they're more strict on that than they are with you know, other themes, you know, with the themes that they produce. In other words, you know, don't do what we do, do what we tell you. Yeah. Like you said, they've pulled like, you know, the rescue helicopter, which arguably, you know, is less sort of inappropriate than the Colosseum. But
do you think it's that we're so disconnected from what that used to be that now it's just essentially a landmark where it's like, okay, this is a really neat piece of architecture and that's essentially all it is?
I think that's
I feel like that's what they're gonna sort of push for anyway, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like there's gonna be some questions asked. I don't know if the backlash will be as big if it was something that, like you said, was more recent, but there's going to be people asking questions, certainly, you know.
Personally, I wish Lego would just be like, listen, you don't like it, don't buy it. Enough said.
I think like Notre Dame would be a beautiful set, and I think it would sell really well, and I think people who aren't religious would appreciate it for like being a beautiful building and wanting to set this building. You know, people visit it like, you know, all the time, and I'm sure not all of them are religious, so I don't get why Lego won't do that, because you know, it's almost like they say that they got to stay away from anything, but they can go and do a building that basically where slaves fought to the death for people's amusement, you know?
And this being released so soon, or close rather, after the whole Osprey thing, I think there will be questions being asked.
Because there'll be comparisons, I think. Like...
Yeah, there'll be comparisons for sure. Speaking of other new Lego sets, today actually there was news about a possible new Ninjago City set, a Ninjago City Garden set, which is quite interesting. Supposed to have, I think I saw somewhere like 19 or 20 minifigures, which is
wow.
Yeah.
And $300 is the rumored price. What was the price of Ninjago City in the US, Greg? Was
$300, I believe. Same price.
Right? So same price.
Same price. Wow. I'm excited about this. It's like my favorite. It used to be my favorite set until Nintendo came out. And then I just built the docks, of course. And now this coming, it's like, oh, this, like, it's like a perfect trifecta of these beautiful sets that would look fantastic on anybody's shelf.
For sure. And like, it'll be interesting to see how they connect, if they are even going to connect it to the other two, because this Ninjago City Gardens is a legacy set for the show. It's not based off the movie. So if it have similar styles, it'd be interesting.
I said it's not going to be. When people were saying it was going to happen, like in our group, I was like, "This ain't going to happen." The film came out 3 years ago. The movie rights have now gone to Universal, so they're not going to want to sort of like bring stuff up back to the old sort of franchise. But then, like I think Jim Blade said that it's going to be, you know, a legacy set, which makes sense because is it this special like 10th anniversary next year or something like that?
Yeah. 10th anniversary of the launch of Ninjago.
So it seems entirely appropriate, but then the thing is, if they're going to link it to a set based on a different version of Ninjago, it's a bit weird. You know,
I'm totally okay with that, though, because for me, the movie sets were my favorite Ninjago sets, so anything that they can pull back from that, even if it is years later, I'm in. I'll give my $300.
I mean, like I said before, it's the worst of the Lego movies, but it has the best sets.
Yes.
Yeah, agree. So it'll be interesting, and again, it'll be cool to see if how much of the show they're going to input as well. Like, there's, I believe, a statue of Zane in the middle of the gardens as well. So if there'll be references to the show, that'll be quite nice. And I think as well, 19 or 20 minifigures probably suggests, like, we'll probably get the main group, like Ninjas and Sensei Wu, we'll probably get a lot of characters not seen before in Lego from the show, which would be quite nice as well. It'd be a cool chance for like new and old Ninjago collectors as well. But if we're going to see how it works, it's a garden set. So will it be mainly buildings or kind of, you know,
giant tree
things and like park areas and stuff? That'd be quite interesting.
I'm hoping that it's a set that's going to be able to stand on its own, because the one complaint we have like with the docks is that it feels like an expansion pack for Ninjago City. It doesn't feel like a set that would really work on its own. Like Ninjago City can work without the docks, but the docks can't work without the city, if that makes sense.
Right, I agree with that.
So, and Dr. Green makes a really good point here in the chat. They say, is Ninjago City even still available? It's not available. It's retired, sadly, so it's a dock. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's weird, but it's interesting they're making a set as a possible expansion set to the older Ninjago City sets, where the older two aren't even available anymore, which LEGO has done before in LEGO Star Wars, several.
I'm wondering if it won't even actually connect, but like it'll be like almost what they did with the Hindside sets. They had one that was the subway, and then they had the Welcome to Hindside, and there was a part that sort of crossed over the portal, but they never actually physically connected. And the designer on Neurobrick said the idea was that they could like be put together like side by side, and they were kind of like, you know, two halves of the same coin, but they didn't want to connect them together because people would feel like you have to buy both sets to get the complete set. So I wonder if that's what they're going to do, where you can display it, you know, right, pushed up against Ninjago City on Ninjago City docks, but it won't, you know, actually connect to anything.
I mean, I personally don't think this set, just personally, I don't think it will go with the other two sets. I think they're going to try and make it a standalone. Like, there'll be an option to, yes, but
with the whole connection part, I'm fine with that, but I want the styling to be similar. Yes. Like I've obviously watched the Ninjago movie. I don't know if they actually showed a garden in that movie now that I'm thinking back about it. So is this going to be something off the top of their heads that it's like, okay, this is what the garden would look like. And I just hope that it, you know, style wise, cause there's lots of colors that kind of replicate it across the two current ones.
To be honest, the docks look nothing like the docks in the movie anyway. The docks in the movie were much more industrial and had a warehouse and stuff, where the docks in the set was just
What it comes down to, I think the main things to think about when I think of Ninjago City in the dock, you think of quality builds, you know, good minifigs, Easter eggs, other LEGO themes and parts of the movie. So that's what I think what I'd like to see in this new set is a good build, new building techniques as well, you know, new minifigs I haven't seen before, and Easter egg to other LEGO themes or different seasons of Ninjago. I think that's very important as well.
Sure.
Especially because they're trying to please, I guess, new LEGO fans, they always try to do, but also Ninjago fans have been there for 10 years. I think that's a very important thing as well. If it's going to be an anniversary set, I think there needs to be like a high bar of quality because it's trying to please people who've been around for 10 years. You know, really important to see.
Like the style will be more like, I mean, the series anyway, from what I know, has like adopted kind of like part of the look of the film anyway, the later seasons.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if the style of the set will be more similar to like the Temple of Air Jitsu, which is another set. But like how that is more like almost like a traditional sort of like oriental setting, as opposed to sort of like you know, like a metropolis type neo Asian setting like Ninjago City set was, you know?
Yeah.
If they go too far that way, like I think that would look really great too. But if they go too far that way, I feel like it's not going to mesh with what people currently have, and that could turn people off of it.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Another rumored set, though, that I want to talk about is the new Ecto-1 set that has pretty much been all but confirmed now, coming out next year. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I mean, Greg, I think, aren't you quite a big fan of Ghostbusters?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm instantly in. Like, if it's the UCS Batmobile or whatever size like that is, I think it would be amazing to have that detail. Because I have the ideas set, which is just a small little thing, but you got all of the Ghostbusters with it. This would be incredible if they do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a massive fan of Ghostbusters. You know, it's just like
We're looking for a new member. You need to be from the UK, fan of Ghostbusters. Please apply below. Kidding, Rogue. Oh, he actually did get kicked.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Ghostbusters. Like, I like it. It's just not my thing. But if they're going to do like a creator expert sized version of the Ecto-1, I'd want kind of like to see new things. So it'd be really cool if there was a sound brick for the horn. the Ecto one. That's quite nice. Yes. You're in the trailer of Artemis. That would be really cool.
You've redeemed yourself, my friend.
But just like, you know, lots of different features that are synonymous with the Ecto one. That I think a really crucial thing. Don't just give us like the car, but give us the Ghostbusters, you know, car itself.
Yeah. So give us the car. They could do a little bonus here. They could do the car, have it play the Ghostbusters song. That would be an instant win.
Oh my God.
And then you have a buildable Ghostbusters like backpack that goes with it. Yeah. Like that'd be amazing.
Yeah. And like, I mean, interesting to see if they do, I hope they do the original version, but I guess there is the slight chance it's going to be the new version from Afterlife because it's going to be released, I guess, with
The one from Afterlife is basically the one from the first movie, but with a few like cosmetic changes, like it's more aged. I think the ladder is on the wrong side, or you know, the opposite side that it was in the original movie, unless what they do sometimes in films is they flip shots, like, you know, your image. When they've done like an editing mistake, so it could be that. But also, in the trailer release, we see that the Ecto one now has a gunner seat, so that could be like a cool feature, having the gunner seat pop out, like how the guns pop out of the 89 Batmobile. But I could see this being a really popular line because, you know, there's a lot of people like 80s nostalgia and that kind of like 80s 90s is massive at the moment. So if they did like, you know, the Batmobile 89. That was a fantastic set. It sold really well. They do the Ecto one. They could do the DeLorean next. I mean, that would be fantastic. You know, a UCS DeLorean. I'd love them to do the A-Team van. I mean, that would be fantastic.
Go ahead, Rogue.
I was going to say, sorry, what I'd like to see as well. I'm just thinking of the Helicarrier set and the stand that was with it, with the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo. I'd love to see a stand for the Ghostbusters characters with the Ghostbusters logo in the background.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't stand in the idea set, where it had like a little tile piece for the logo, but a brick built or a tile build of the logo would be really cool. Again, make it a proper collector's set, which I think this is what it's going to be.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm.
There are rumored like Ghostbusters Afterlife sets. It's not just apparently going to be the one big set, because people in chat saying they want to see of just a regular size one, like the idea set. There is a rumor at least going around there are going
to I mean, start of 2020, before like everything went to hell in a handbasket, I was hearing rumors and reading stuff about there being 3 or 4 new Ghostbusters, be like a mini wave, and there was going to be a mixture of sets based on the new film and the original movie. There was a bit of like ambiguity whether or not they would cover Ghostbusters 2 or just Ghostbusters 1, but it was going to be, you know, kind of like what you see, I think Hasbro have done with the toys that have already started coming out. They've done some based on the original movie and some based on Afterlife. That literally, as soon as like Monkey Kid started getting leaked, you know, all went dead quiet. And of course, now the film has been delayed until next year. But recently, I've started hearing those rumors again, but it's the same rumors from January. So I don't know if that, you know, means that they're more credible or people are just regurgitating what they heard at the start of the year. But I think it would be really good, especially if the other rumor is true that Hidden Side is being retired at the end of this year.
Yeah.
It would make sense if they're doing that to make way for, you know, Ghostbusters as a theme.
I mean, speaking of delaying sets as well, I think a really interesting thing to think about with 2021 for LEGO is that you've got a lot of sets that were going to come out this year, Minion sets, potentially Ghostbusters sets, for films that have now been delayed till next year. LEGO would have probably had sets planned for films already next year. So are we going to have a really busy year for LEGO next year with, you know, loads of new sets? Or are we going to be in a period for a while where we just get loads of delayed sets?
Because that's a big question, though, for the movie industry as well. Like, 2021, do you put out twice the number of movies? Or are we just going to be like permanently backed up with movies for a couple years until things kind of even out, you know?
I mean, I think it's going to even out a little bit because of how they had such a period of time where they couldn't actually produce anything. So it wasn't just a case they couldn't put it out. They couldn't actually.
There was no filming.
Yeah. So, like, films that would have been completed by now, they need to complete. So I feel like we're almost going to be on a delay now for the next few
years. I think it's going to have a massive impact on Marvel because they've got a lot of these shows filmed, ready to go on Disney Plus. I suppose even release at the end of this year, like Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision and such. And they're supposed to tie in with the films.
Yeah.
Now, films are going to tie in with, like, the Doctor Strange film have been delayed. So we're just kind of sitting there for a year just going, okay, just waiting for the next part, or are they going to delay the shows, which again creates a backlog of Disney Plus where there's been we are in kind of right now where there's no new content, like massive show, like content wise, you know, Mandalorian not getting till potentially October, Marvel shows aren't till the end of the year, Clone Wars is finished. We're kind of we're getting new stuff, but not as many titles like Marvel and Star Wars.
A very controversial point, I'm sure. But I was reading an article, actually, I think it was yesterday, about basically someone proposing that this coronavirus might be the death of the MCU. And what they were saying is because it happened, this delay, right after the culmination of, like, well, you know, 10 years almost of films, you know, with Endgame. And then Marvel needed to sort of, yeah, okay, have a breather, but then kickstart the new next phase. Mm. And when they've gone to do that, this has happened. It's been delayed. People have moved on to other stuff that people are really going to be interested, especially when the first film back is going to be about a character that has died and was from the old sort of like era. Mm. So it's almost like, you know, Marvel might struggle to get back to where they were. I can see it happening.
The hype train has sort of stalled for a bit. You know, they're on this massive high with Endgame, and now it's just like slowly dying.
I think those Marvel people are still out there, though, and as soon as something hits, they're going to come right back. I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing.
See, they're not doing as well as previous ones, though. I can see it being a bit of a hit.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think... Black Widow is going to have the pull that Endgame would have or whatever, you know, but it's something. And I think people are going to be so desperate for something that they're going to be in on it. I saw someone in the chat comment about Mulan and they're wondering how that's going to go, going as like a Disney Plus release.
Yeah. Rogue, do you want to say anything to me?
I mean, the last thing I heard about it was that when they announced like the new release dates for some of the films, I think Mulan didn't have one. And I guess, Matt, now there's probably a rumor going around that I'm still myself. What's that, Craig?
Mulan has been confirmed that it's going to go straight to Disney Plus.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, also
that you will have to pay a premium to watch it.
Really?
What is that premium that you have to pay, or haven't they announced that yet?
I think it's about $30.
I'm out.
That's... Because
so
I remember
what I said, Rogue. I said, do you want to say something to me? Because you were telling me that absolutely won't happen. And exactly what I said would happen. We kind of had like an argument about has happened. So I was like, ha, smug mode.
Think about this, though. Like, say it's you, your wife, or whatever. You got three kids and you were going to go to the theater to see this because you're a huge Mulan fan. And you start adding up, you know, the gas money. Maybe you're going out for dinner before or after it. Maybe you're buying snacks there. Potentially you're buying five tickets. Like $30 could be a huge bargain for somebody that's a dedicated fan. But for most people, I think it's like, man, $30 just to rent that essentially. I'll just wait for it to come out if I'm going to buy it. It's basically.
That's the thing. Like I suppose it. Sorry, go ahead, Rogue.
I was going to say, when COVID first hit, I think, I don't know if I'm wrong here, but I think Frozen 2 was still out. And it went like almost immediately, or like a month in, it went on to Disney Plus in America for free to watch whatever.
Right.
Didn't happen here, but in America. So I'm a bit confused as to now why, if they're going to charge a premium. My thoughts might be maybe they mean you'll have to sign up to a new kind of tier of account to watch new films straight away, rather than paying $30 just to watch Mulan.
Or apparently this is what it's going to be. It's going to be a premium thing. So you have to have Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Your monthly subscription. But when like films like this come out, you have to pay a premium on top. So like $30 to watch Mulan. So if like they did that for four films, you have to pay 4x30.
Like a pay-per-view essentially.
Is that obviously, Greg, you mentioned before that, you know, it's cheaper than going to the cinema. But like, and that was a good point. And it was only afterwards that I thought about it. Was that, do you compare it to how much it would cost you to go into the cinema and see it on the big screen, you know, with the surround sound and that experience? Or do you compare it to the normal cost of rent to the movie, which is like $3 or $4 or, you know, $3 or $4 over here in the UK?
Sure. Yeah, I guess there is something special about the experience of going out, and I do love that experience. But if you're looking at it from a financial standpoint and you're okay with whatever equipment you have in your home, most people have a pretty big TV these days and probably okay audio. And the fact that you can start it whenever you want, you can stop it when you want to go to the bathroom, you don't have to watch previews, all that stuff. I think maybe some people would prefer to just watch it from home. But I do admit that you are losing that experience of being there.
I feel like a lot of people will prefer to watch it at home, but I feel like they won't want to pay $30 for that.
Yeah. I can't see that.
Right, right.
When you can go onto like Amazon Prime and watch a movie that may be like a couple months old and it's like $3 or $4 to rent or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to go on a holding pattern with this where they're just like, well, we'll just watch something else in 3 months from now when Mulan is available for, even if it's $19.99 on the App Store or whatever, if you want to, or, you know, whatever, you're going to buy it that way as opposed to renting it for $30 to see it instantly. I think people are just going to wait.
And also you got to think that's a rental fee. And like,
yeah, like they should get that movie to you for that price, man.
Yeah, I mean, how long after that is it going to come out on Blu-ray and DVD to watch for a fraction of that price, you know? And then you own it then.
It's crazy, too much. Yeah. I did see a story on similar to the movie fronts that I don't know what theater chain is opening up. Maybe someone in the chat has heard this as well, that they're going to be offering 15-cent movie tickets to get people to come in.
Wow.
But then became the question as to, are you going to have to wear a mask the whole time? Are they going to serve popcorn and drinks where you essentially take your mask off while all these people are sitting around you that bought their 15-cent ticket and you're all eating and drinking and like, what's going to happen?
I mean, one of
AMC, one of my, I think is what it is.
AMC, yeah.
One of my friends went to the cinema recently, actually, because they have started opening up in England, and she thought that it was going to be like, they've seen shown pictures where they remove like, they have a seat, remove free, have a seat, remove free.
Okay, that would work.
It was none of that. You were just told to sort of please keep your distance and be respectful of other customers. And you were told you had to wear your mask apart from you could remove it to eat and drink. And she said that as soon as they got on there, most people just took their masks off and put them on the seat next to them. And like, you know, there were people coughing and stuff as well during the film and they were laughing. And of course, like they said, like laughing is pretty much just as bad as coughing.
You
know,
right,
sending like, you know, droplets, you know, saliva up into the air and stuff. So yeah. I was like, you know, in a confined space, you know, with other people who are coughing and breathing and eating and laughing and stuff. No.
Now imagine that, but then they make the tickets 15 cents and people are pent up. They want to get out. They see the theaters open. Think about how full that place is going to be at 15 cents.
Yeah. Nightmare.
Dude. And well, like even if you're not eating, you're not going to sit there with your mask on while the person right next to you is chowing down popcorn and drinking a soda, I wouldn't think.
I'm actually going to my first drive-in cinema tomorrow.
All this could be the revival, couldn't it?
They're doing one in Splott in Cardiff. And we're going to go try it. I don't think it's a new movie. I forget what movie it was. Last week they were showing Back to the Future Part 2 and I missed it. So we're going this week. I can't remember. They've been showing like Goonies.
Okay.
That's like, cool.
All old films, but you know, I've never been to a drive-in cinema, so this is going to be a new experience.
Nice one.
I remember going as a kid, but the one that was around us is now shut down because it's not something people do anymore, but this could be the way it comes back. And you do wonder, at least I think about this, how long till after this is all over that people are going to just go back to normal? Like, I feel like people, this is going to create a whole generation of kind of like germaphobes, I think, that don't want to be near other people or handshaking.
I think we'll see a lot of changes in things like cinema. I don't think we'll ever go back to normal. Personally, I think we'll see a lot of change, especially in terms of the number of films released now. I think it's going to go significantly down due to how much money has been lost. Really? And also just as well, like I think cinema chains like Cineworld and stuff, they've lost a lot of money. We could see them, you know, less films being on in cinemas. Cinema chains might shut down. You know, that's just one industry, for example. But I think we'll see a lot of changes.
Will the Milan business model be the future then, potentially?
Well, this is the thing, because I feel like there was already a lot of people in like a lot of executives pushing to see how the streaming was going to work if that was the new future rather than cinemas. You know, that you can only look at like the MCU you mentioned earlier, how many of the series they were planning rather than more movies. And I feel like with COVID now, that is almost sort of like, you know, cemented that as the future now, so that, you know, cinema will almost be an afterthought, really.
I think
you're saying it's smarter to put out a series of shows like in a series as opposed to just a 2-hour or 3-hour movie then.
Yeah.
I think with Trolls was the film, it made more money via streaming service on Amazon and such rather than it was projected to make in the cinemas, you know? And also I'd look at shows like Mandalorian and Clone Wars and see how successful they've been and praised they've been. And the stories being able to tell by having those longer kind of time frames for the stories being told, you know, Clone Wars being over 7 seasons and such. So I think we'll see a lot more TV shows now than films, I think. I think there's especially the MCU as well. I think we'll see that and going forward in the future.
I wonder if Disney is making a mistake with like, the more you talk about this, the more I think like maybe for Disney, it'd be more valuable to get these people to sign up. Maybe everyone's already signed up, possibly. And it's like, okay, we've got the subscriber base we need already. Now let's start making some money off these people.
Yeah.
Because say you don't have Disney Plus at all and you're like, I just love Mulan. I need to be a part of this. You're going to drop $8 just for that month at least. And you're probably going to stay subscribed. So God knows how much money you're actually going to spend. But then you're going to spend 30 on top of that. And you just drop $40 on a 2-hour movie.
Do you know, if they did this with Black Widow, I think they would have made a lot more money. I think people would kick off, but they still, like, you know, do you know, like, it'll be like Ryan with the DC CMFs. They'd moan about it, but they still go and buy it anyway.
Sure.
Mulan, I think a lot of people will go, I can wait. I feel like they chose the wrong film. Mulan, they should have put on for free and gone, look, you know, here's a gesture of goodwill. We're giving you this brand new film for free, including your subscription. And then Black Widow, this one, we're going to ask you to pay a little bit more. And I feel like that would have gone down better.
Yeah, there'd be more demand because Marvel do a thing where you basically have to see every single Marvel film to understand the whole story. Like, there's always something in every film. So, yeah, like, you know, after credit scene or something in Black Widow that people would want to see, they'd have to see it. You know, it's more demand.
It'll be on YouTube like 2 minutes after it goes live anyway.
Yeah, sure. We're going to be so wrong about this. Like, you're going to see Mulan made like $60 billion or something because no one has anything else to do. And they're like, all right, whatever.
I said that Mulan was going to go straight to Disney Plus and they put like the price up. And Rogue was like, no, my Disney won't do it. Disney love me, you know? Disney love people. You know, they don't do it for the money. They do it for the joy they bring to people.
Oh, my. Sure.
Emperor Mickey over there, you know?
Oh, man. It was the plan.
Wait until they own everything, Rogue. Everything. Oh, including you.
This is what I'm speaking, like, I don't know about Netflix in the US, but in the UK, loads of Fox films have been taken off Netflix now, presumably because Disney now own Fox and, like, you know, the deals they had with Netflix have expired. But these are films like Die Hard and stuff like that. They're never going to be on Disney Plus unless they do something where they have like an adult only section. Yeah.
And why don't they? I know Disney has that. They're like Lego, where it's like, it's always been this way. We can't do anything kind of risky.
But it's not though, because Disney always owned Miramax. They owned Touchstone. They owned Buena Vista. So, like, you know, Miramax produced Pulp Fiction. You know, Pulp Fiction is technically a Disney movie. But for some reason, they closed all those down. They're like, oh, we're only doing Disney stuff now. Like, you know, Marvel's going to be Disney. You know, Star Wars is Disney.
The rumor is right now is that the next Doctor Strange film, it's called the full title, but
A Multitude of Madness.
That's the one, yeah. It's supposed to be the first, I think, R-rated or something MCU film. Like, it's going to be, you know, adult-rated. So, and they're going to have to release on Disney Plus as it's part of the MCU. So I think we could see some sort of, like, adult film area of, like, 18-plus films or, like, 15-plus films from Disney Plus.
They probably should, but it's hard to enforce that because what's going to happen is Johnny's going to be watching Die Hard, like Craigle said, and his mom's going to walk in and be like, what are you doing? And then it's like, all right, that's it. We're canceling Disney Plus. But before we do that, I'm going to make a post on my Facebook page and do all this other stuff. And that's going to give them, like, this reputation of not being
It's so random, though, because I think I told you, like, once before, I watched Splash with Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah, which I hadn't seen in years. And, like, the CG, they say at the start this film has been edited, you know, to be on this platform. And like when the one, like, and there's a few shots where you saw her bare bum because she's, you know, she's naked. You never saw anything particularly sort of like, you know, but they've done like CG extensions to her hair to cover her bum. And then there's a bit then where she comes out of the water onto Liberty Island and they CG'd away her ass crack. So like she literally, like she, her bum just doesn't have a divide. It's just like, you know,
she has back and legs.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's only for a couple of seconds, but it's the most unnerving thing. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. But then, like, you've got episodes of The Simpsons where they're, like, talking, like, trash about Disney, saying, oh, Disney killed, like, all the Jewish people and stuff like that. And I'm like, whoa, I thought, you know, Disney would have cut that bit out and not put that episode on there, you know? So it's that classic thing of what is and what isn't acceptable. These companies like Lego and Disney, they have this thing of like, oh, we're you know, we're thinking of the children, but then that line is so fluid that it just there's no consistency there, you know.
Sure.
How about parents about Doctor Strange? I heard that it was meant to be R-rated. It was going to be basically the MCU's first horror movie. But Disney execs had cold feet and sacked the original director because he's changed director now, hasn't he?
Sam Raimi, apparently, yeah.
Yeah. But then Raimi originally was a horror movie director, so... I don't know. But yeah.
there's a lot of movies and jokes and things. Like, even we're just watching something from the family section or the kids section of Disney Plus, and there was a couple F-bombs in it, and there was some stuff in there that was kind of you definitely couldn't get away with today. Like,
was that Adventures in Babysitting?
Adventures in Babysitting is under the kids section. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they say the F word twice. There were some like homophobic type things in there as well, which if you did today, you would get destroyed. And it's what point do you just draw the line? It's like, okay, this was from a moment in time where this was like acceptable, at least. Like, even you mentioned Simpsons. What about when Bart does like the prank calls to the tavern and he's like, I'm looking for a man to hug and kiss. And then Mo says, and it's a joke. It's like, well, why is that a joke? How is that okay? And it's like, dude, at some point you just need to just ease up a little bit, you know.
There's a lot of, like, I was amazed because I've rewatched a lot of the old Simpsons now, and there's a lot of homophobe and transphobe jokes in there, and you can sort of take it, you know, a pinch of salt and say it's of the time, and or even then it's like it's humor, you know, like with stand-up comedians, it's almost like with comedy anything goes. But it is it's weird, you know, because it is kind of like, well, you're okay with that, but then you have to CG away someone's ass crack, you know? Like, you're fine with the kids hearing, like, you know, jokes about Jewish people, gay people, you know, trans people, but then you don't want the child to know that there's a line, you know, where your two butt cheeks meet. It just, you know?
So what do? You cut all these things out? Do you not show them? Do you you have them with, like, a message ahead of time that says, like, this is not necessarily right, but this is a part of the original art or whatever?
I've never seen the film, but I know the song because I think it won an Oscar. Is it the Song of the South? A Disney film. It was like live action with cartoon elements, and it was basically about, I think it was about black people, like, in the immediate sort of like years after slavery, you know, was abolished in the US. And they've said they will never show that on Disney Plus because it kind of glorifies like what life was like for black people then when it really wasn't that, you know, great.
Yeah. And
like, why get rid of that? Why not just put it up and say, like, this was made at a time where, you know, stuff like this wasn't really, you know, thought of in the same way as it was today. You know, it does not, you know, represent like our own opinions, but, you know, it happened and it's still here, and, you know, you can watch it, you know?
Cause it is a choice. You were choosing to watch this thing. And if they put that big warning up ahead of time, you obviously have the opportunity to click out of it.
Someone said, like, and again, I haven't seen the film, so I don't know all the ins and outs of it. So sorry if I guess something wrong, but someone said that I think the actor who does the song, is it Zippity Doodah, Zippity Day, that one? He won, like, he was like the first black man to win an Oscar because he won it for like the best song or the singer of the song. And it's like, you've now erased like the first black man to win any kind of Oscar. You've erased that. Like,
oh, he was the collateral damage to the other thing that they were trying to fix then, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, people are so sensitive about everything these days. You can never be too careful, it seems.
I feel like you shouldn't sort of like pretend that never happened. You should just basically have something that informs and puts some context to what it was, you know? Because that's the only way.
Because it's educational that way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I feel like, you know, trying to pretend it didn't happen is almost the equivalent of, like, you know, burning books, you know, and have history books and stuff like
exactly
that, you know?
Like, you have the pyramids, it's like, wait, these were built by slaves, we should probably tear the pyramids down. And it's like, well, no, not necessarily, because there is a lot to be learned here, and this is a piece of art. So I look at that almost across the board. Like, we have people in our country right now, I know this is a UK podcast, but like, there's people tearing down statues, which maybe the people that are on the statues were terrible people. Maybe they did horrible things, but it's like, to me, that is essentially the same thing. It's like, this is what happened, and this is what we can learn from that.
Yeah.
We had the same thing in the UK as well. And like, speaking of Song of the South as well, Disney World in California and other places as well, and other Disney parks, you have Splash Mountain, which has elements of Song of the South, I believe, on the ride, like the song, for example, at the end.
Yeah.
And they've just re-announced they're now rebranding that ride to Princess and the Frog. So now there'll be, I don't believe, anything to do with Song of the South in any Disney park or anything at all now. It'll be completely, as far as I'm aware, I don't think there'll be any left of that film in any Disney
park. I mean, I've heard like a similar thing. I don't know if this is true because I haven't bothered to look at it on Disney Plus, but I've heard like in Dumbo, they cut the whole scene out with the crows because apparently crow was like a racist slur for like an Asian African-American in the South. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a kid, I didn't get that. I just saw that, you know, they were a bunch of birds that were teaching Dumbo how to fly and give him confidence. You know, they gave him the feather, which really, you know, was nothing. It was a placebo. Do you know what I mean? But again, it's like, why cut that whole scene out? Why not just put like, you know, this film contains depictions which could be considered, you know, sort of racist, that, you know, this was made at a different time. and just educate people about it. You know, I think the only way to sort of get better as a society is to talk about the mistakes and learn from them, you know, rather than pretend it didn't happen, so that we have a generation who isn't aware of this. I mean, how can you learn from something that you don't know about, you know?
That's how history repeats itself again, because exactly. You're not going to know. And what's going to happen with art going forward, I feel like art, comedy, everything, is no one's going to want to be the guy that steps over the line a little bit, because you're afraid you're going to get canceled and you're just going to be left with all this bland stuff going forward.
Yeah, yeah. You're not wrong. Wow, yeah. We got really deep today.
We got super deep. Like, you thought this was a Lego podcast? Oh, no. It's about everything. Should we turn it over to the chat? I know we're a little over our time. We can do like a rapid fire thing if you guys have any topics, or if you want to comment on things that we've talked about. Yeah. I do appreciate everybody that's been chatting throughout, and hopefully the people that are watching this have enjoyed chatting with each other. I know we don't super focus on that, but it's tough when you're in the middle of a conversation to kind of go into that. But if there's anything that you guys would like to discuss that we've discussed thus far, or completely a new topic, throw it out there, and we'd love to have that.
That's the problem when you get two Brits in a room. We love to talk.
No, I think it's great. I've really enjoyed this, guys.
Yeah, same
we should
here.
We should make this a thing, like once a week.
Yeah, that's really cool. But yeah, like, I guess another thing as well, I guess a general question to ask. Oh, here we go, from Knight and Arm. What Lego sets would you guys recommend under $20? We'll say pounds as well. $20 or £20. What was the most recent set you've built around that price point that you'd say you recommend?
Good question.
I mean, I think it's probably a bit over that, was the Monster Burger Truck.
Okay.
Oh, that was a good one. That's about that price. What is it? Maybe it's more than that, actually.
I think I got it around that much, so.
I'd have to recommend a lot of the Lego City space stuff. I recently built the shuttle and the Land Rover, two really good sets, around the $20 price point. They got cool pieces. The geode pieces are really cool. Really cool sets. So I'd recommend them if you're into like space stuff and city stuff, for sure.
I think for people that are on a budget at the $20 price level or £20, I think Creator is fantastic for that, because you're limited. Therefore, you buy a set for that $20 and you got three builds out of there. So it keeps you busy for a long time. Plus, the pieces are pretty universal and you can make something else that you really enjoy as well. So there's four builds there at least that you can get out of that.
For sure.
Yeah. So look.
Also Graphic Bricks asks the best way to make a cup of tea. Craggle, if you want to take that one.
wait, is this tea that we're drinking or eating? I'm confused.
That is the question. Oh, is it?
If you had ramen noodles, could you consider that a cup of tea? Or is tea more of like a? No, it's a noun.
Yeah.
You make a cup of ramen noodles. Could I say I'm having a cup of tea? Or I'm having a cup of tea? Is that not proper usage?
I think you're just having tea for a cup of noodles.
Or you're having a cup of ramen noodles for tea, is how you would say it.
That's how I put it.
And here's a good one from Xanderland Studios. What do you guys think about the 2019 Batman sets? Oh. I would say I feel about those the same way as Rogue feels about the summer Star Wars sets. Good minifigures, terrible builds, just garbage.
Yeah. When you get those superhero sets, you run into that a lot. Like, how many bat cycles can you get? Or let's put a bat cycle in here for Catwoman as well, or whatever. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But I try to think not as myself, but as maybe the demographic that they're trying to hit here. And if I was 8 years old, I'd probably love that, all that stuff.
Bunch of Bricks asking about thoughts on Harry Potter Collectible Series 2. I personally think it's one of the best CMF series to date. The amount of new molds, prints, characters we've got in the series is fantastic. For example, the Sword of Gryffindor looks amazing. Both of Harry's parents are in the series, which I don't think anyone would have expected. And, you know, I guess with the rumored Diagon Alley as well, it sort of ties together quite nicely.
Yeah. I'm excited that I just know who some of these characters are now. And I'm like, right. When the last one came out, I knew like Harry. I maybe knew Ron. And I was like, I'm not really interested. And then I watched the movies. I'm like, oh, okay.
Bunch of Bricks is right, though. That is really weird that it hasn't even been officially revealed, and yet it's already available in some targets in the US. Like,
somebody dropped the ball there.
That's insane. Like, you know, to not even have a reveal yet. They haven't announced it. It's like, at this point, shouldn't they just get ahead and just like do the release early, you know, or you know, at least announce it?
Yeah, just do it now.
You would think so.
We have a really good series, GMS series.
Yeah.
In line with that, Canadian asks, what's your favorite Toy Story movie? This is going to be triggering for some people, I think.
Oh, my God. I'm dreading this answer from Rogue.
See, my answer changes every time.
He's going to say two, isn't he?
He's going to say four. No, he loves
right now, it's three.
Okay.
Okay.
I think the ending of three is one of my, I think, just favorite, like, most memorable endings to a film ever. Because it was, like, the whole, if those don't know, it's a scene where Andy, like, gives the toys, you know, the gang, like, Woody, Buzz, to, what's her name? Is it Molly?
No, Molly's sister.
Well, he gives them to someone else. I can't remember her name. The small girl that we see in the film. And he drives off, and it's a scene of Woody and Buzz and Jesse all looking as he drives away. And it's just a really sad scene, and the music is perfect. So, yeah, that it's one of my favorite films, I think, of all time. I just remember just being in the cinema and watching that, and just, oh, Bonnie, there we go.
Bonnie. Thank you, Chad. Did you see the prank that the kid played on his family where he ended it with them all going into the incinerator?
No.
He basically, I think he downloaded and edited it. So it goes in the incinerator, then it goes to the song and the credits.
I remember someone said that when they thought what was going to happen, because like all the way through number three, they keep saying like, it doesn't matter what happens to us as long as we're together, that they thought that they were going to get melted down and made into a new toy. And it'd be like, never is a new toy, and it'd be like the new cycle. And I was like, I can see that working thematically, but I just imagine that it would be like terrifying for a kid looking at his toy, you know, like a mismatch of all toys that got melted down and killed. And
there's so many iconic moments in Toy Story 3 as well. And yeah, Jim Bite, I know I should know Bonnie. I don't know why I forgot Bonnie's name.
It's okay. I forgot her name too.
Like, the claw moment with the aliens is so funny. Buzz, when he switched to Spanish mode, is really cool. There's so many great moments in the film. Lotso, I think, was a great villain. One of the best Disney Pixar villains to date. So, right now, Toy Story 3 is my favorite Toy Story film.
What about you, Craggle? Which number?
I would say one or three. I mean, one is the original, and I love the focus on just Woody and Buzz. It is a proper buddy movie of the, you know, two characters who can't stand each other becoming best friends, and I love those stories. And, you know, they can be, like, you know, a bit sort of predictable, but it's got so much heart to it. But I also love number three, as it, you know, brings that sense of closure, because, you know, there is no fourth film. There's nothing.
I saw the fourth one. And
no, you didn't.
No, the one for me is, I feel the same way. One I actually watched as a kid, and like I had a Woody doll. that was just special for me to see that as a kid, but it was fun following it. I missed out on two, kind of, but then three, we got back in and we watched four with my own son. So it's kind of it's like the whole cycle kind of comes back around.
I think what's special about Toy Story as well is that there's four films, and you can say your favorite, but at the end of the day, I think they're all great films, you know, and I think that's quite rare for film series nowadays. Like, yeah, there's one that's probably the best, but all four are really great. Yeah. So wherever you say, you know, whatever it's on there, it might be, it's still one of the best ones.
I feel like two is the one that's aged the most because it has so many pop culture references of the time. Like, I remember when it came out, I thought it was the best one. But when I think about, oh, do I want to watch Toy Story now? It's the one that I'll go to the least, just because of, like, I feel like it doesn't hold up as well as one and three do.
Right.
It's still a good movie, but I think it's the weakest of the trilogy, you know?
I just have fond memories of two. Emperor Zurg was really cool too. Yeah. Really cool.
I remember four reminded me a lot of, I think it was the second season of Walking Dead, where, like, you know, they lost, hear me out on this, they lost Forky, right? And it's like, okay, Forky's gone, but we're all now going to risk our lives to go get him, and all these bad things are going to happen to us throughout that process. The same thing kind of happened in Walking Dead, where this girl got lost, and they're like, you know what, it's a zombie apocalypse, but let's all just all risk our lives to go save this girl, and we're all probably going to die in the process of doing that. And it's like, sometimes you got to cut your losses, you know, like Forky's gone.
There's loads of theories about how Toy Story and Walking Dead are basically the same story.
Are you kidding me?
There's loads of them. Like, there's like saying, like, Woody is basically Rick and Buzz is Shane, and like, is like the kid. Also, Lotso is like, I think Lotso is meant to be like the governor, I think.
Okay, right.
Like, where everything seems fine, but it's really not.
Oh, God, there's gonna be some rabbit holes that are happening now for people on YouTube. Yeah. After this, they're like gonna start searching for this, and you're gonna get lost.
There are so many, like, it's not a complete sort of, like, you know, step-by-step recreation, but there's a lot of similarity in the story. Yeah.
I can't believe that. Like, I know what I'm searching for after this.
Oh, man. Yeah.
What's our
visual point of view? You know, Woody looks a bit like a toy of Rick, you know, so.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's our next topic here? That was pretty deep on Toy Story. You guys are impressive. Rogue, man. He goes in.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, one's my favorite. I thought it was really good. What's the next
there
question?
There was a comment about, scroll up, about snap to grid bricks.
Yes.
Saying, has the Star Wars theme hit a brick wall? Have the sets become like helicopters and city sets now?
Yes.
I personally think, if I'm honest, there you go. Question.
Next question, please.
I honestly kind of think, if I'm honest, this is one of the rare years, apart from a microfighter, I haven't bought a single Star Wars, like new Star Wars set this year. I don't know what it is. There's just not been a set that's jumped out at me yet. And that's obviously a little bad. There are good sets, like good sets. You know, the 501st Battle Pack is a good set. The Galaxy's Edge Transport, good set. AT-AT, good set. But there's not been that standout set to me. AAT, I won't get into.
The helmets, were you into those at all?
The helmets, they're okay. I like them. But just as someone, I collect like Star Wars, like other Star Wars merchandise, like Hasbro. And so I instantly just think of the Hasbro helmets and how I prefer them. The Lego ones. So it's, you know, it's like there's not been, I don't think, the standard. Like last year, the Tantive IV was a must have for me. I love that set. I used to recommend it to this day.
Do you think it's because of the lack of like new films this year?
Yeah, I think that's a thing. Like I'm disappointed there wasn't as much Mandalorian or Clone Wars sets this year, but I think that's gonna be next year for sure. But yeah, it's just been a lot of re-releases this year, and if I'm honest, not very good ones. Like the Anakin Starfighter, I think. Why the Death Star Final Duel again? You know, it's sets that I've already got or didn't want, so it's, you know,
I would love a land speeder if they could just put out like Luke's land speeder.
Yeah, that, oh man, I guess a good question to kind of go as well is that, do you guys think there's another theme where it's been great up and then all of a sudden it's been like a point where we've just gone, nah, collect something else, not as impressed with like a particular year of the way or a wave, you know, like I've collected Star Wars for so long and all of a sudden it's just not as good as it used to be. Do you think there's another theme like that where it's been great?
Lego City. I used to collect Lego City here and there. And then like, it was like January of 2019 or maybe even 2018. And I was like, yeah, there's nothing really good here. And then the next wave came out. I'm like, yeah, there's nothing really good here. And it's just continually gone on that way for me. But that's just my personal thoughts.
Yeah. It's, I think Lego City. Yeah. It's a point where we are seeing a lot of remakes now. Like, you know, there's either a police or fire wave every January, Arctic every 2 or 3 years, Undersea every 3 or 4 years, you know.
But again, it's like the kids that are collecting it. I think Lego anticipates you being in this hobby for a couple of years or so. And kids love that stuff. I'm not the demographic. So that's why I don't really appreciate the reviews of people that are 20 or 30 years old or older. It's like, this isn't made for you, dude. You don't like a Lego City helicopter, put that in the hands of a 5-year-old, because I've seen this in my life where I'm like, that's kind of trash, and I see Clark having a blast with it, and I'm like, okay, this was a hit, and I didn't see it because that's not me.
Yeah.
Here's a good question though, unless you want to have a follow-up to that, Craig. Ooh, is there anything that you see?
I was just going to say that I'm more forgiven of like Lego City repeating stuff because it's so like generic, like kids look like police cars or like fire trucks, as opposed to Star Wars when they keep doing like the same thing, like Luke's land speeder, you know, they're still readily available stuff. Yeah. You know? Whereas, you know, with Lego City, like you said, you know, it's that sort of 2-3 year window that a child's in before the next generation comes in. But Star Wars, like, it's been stale for a while now.
Yeah.
This question would be a good one for Craggle, who's a Hidden Side fan. He says, how much do you think Lego can be merged with technology? How much is too much? This is from bricking outside the box.
I mean, I love Lego Hidden Side, but I've never used the app. The fiance has, and she thought it was fun. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, I know you said that it wasn't a big hit in your house, but I remember watching a video where you had the ghost lab, and you did it on your phone, and the cockroach kind of run across your old desk, and Clark was like, whoa! And like his reaction to that, I thought was fantastic.
I think, but if I were to get, like, we've built Hidden Side sets since then, and I just haven't gotten the app out. I think if I were to get it out with him, he would enjoy it. But me, I'm just an old school guy. Like, I'm into paper manuals. Like, we've talked about technology, maybe like going digital with money and going digital with whatever. I just like old school, I guess. I just want to get my bag of bricks out. I want to open up the paper manual and I want to build the set.
I think as long as there is a solid build there and a way to enjoy the set without the technology side, it's okay. But where it gets to things like dimensions, where you need to have the technology with it to actually use the set, that's where I think it's a bit
too hard. I love Lego Dimensions. I totally get, like, I almost feel like it would have worked better if you got rid of the toy pad and you just had, like, games or DLC with a free minifigure or mini build. You didn't have to sort of have the interaction between the two, so you didn't have the toy pad. Because, well, I mean, I loved the game. I thought the game was one of the best Lego games they've done. But I also loved the fact that it gave us, like, licenses and franchises that we probably wouldn't have otherwise seen.
Yeah.
Especially the second year, we had so much 80s nostalgia. And I talked to someone who played it with their kid, and he's like the same age as me. And he said it got his son into like stuff that he liked when he was a kid, like Gremlins and Ghostbusters and stuff like that. And he also says like the very first time they had up like the toy pad on there with the dimension circle, and on the screen it was showing the minifigures going through there. His son reached out and very cautiously sort of put his finger through the hole and then quickly just drew it back. Like he was kind of like in his mind, it was all real connected. So it goes back, I guess, to that idea of who is the target audience. Is it us collectors? Probably not. It's kids. The problem is when the price starts going up because the technology costs. Yeah. So people who aren't interested in it won't buy it. So then you're limiting the audience, and then you see stuff fail because it can't reach the same audience as a sort of basic bricks and paper set, you know?
I mean, there was that architecture set, the design studio, I think it was called, where it was just loads of white bricks. The idea was you kind of pair it with technology or something, you design your architecture. It was a cool set, but without the technology it was kind of hard to kind of understand what the set was, I guess. And it was quite a high price point, if I remember correctly, as well. So yeah, like, you do make a good point. If it gets really expensive, that's where I think it starts to get a bit like, hold on, just focus on that. I think it should always be focused on the Lego side first, then the tech afterwards.
Yeah, I think they're doing a good thing though by getting more involved in technology, because that's what kids are getting into. Like you gotta pull these kids off of Fortnite to get them to play with Lego sets again. And it's like, can we make this exciting? And maybe the Mario stuff is an attempt to do that. The Dimensions,
I think,
obviously.
Lego Mario is a really good. It's a step in the right direction, I think.
I mean, it's not even like a new approach for Lego. You go back to like the original Mindstorms and stuff. They've always wanted to sort of merge Lego with technology, and they've had varied success with that. But when people go, oh, I don't like Lego doing this new thing. Well, it's not really new. They've always done it. Some things have done really well. Some things haven't done well. Some things have gone quite niche and found like a cult following. Others have just been completely forgotten. I'm like Greg. I prefer just to have paper manual and bricks. But at the same time, I completely understand them wanting to keep things fresh and try and bring in technology to sort of compete with other stuff that kids get drawn to on their iPads and stuff like that, and Fortnite and stuff.
Yeah, I get it. I have a question here from a Mrs. Brickitect. Some nepotism here. do you guys like any weird or unique food combinations? The question is mainly for Rogue and Kragle. I don't really care about Greg's answer. Wow, blocker.
I don't know if you guys do it in the States as much. I don't know, but crisps and sandwiches is always really nice, or chips and sandwiches is amazing.
Have you guys ever had a Scottish egg, though?
No, it's called a Scotch egg.
Scotch egg. Dude, they're amazing.
I'm going to make one.
It's not an exciting one, but chili broccoli pasta is really nice. That's like, I guess, an unusual one, I think, at least. Or at least one I don't hear as much going around, like, for pasta. Chili and broccoli is quite a nice combo.
It's weird for us, I think, sometimes as Brits to think what is unusual to Americans, because I read something today when I was looking like at things I could ask you, Greg, and apparently beans on toast is considered weird in America.
What?
Never done it. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's like...
You could do like beans and hot dogs, and it's called beans and franks. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, you can get tins of those like with the hot dogs like already in them.
Okay.
But yeah, I was like, how is beans on toast weird? But
what kind of beans is it? Is it like baked beans, or is it like...
Yeah, baked beans and tomato sauce, yeah.
I'd be into that. Why don't we do that here?
We will put anything in a sandwich here in the UK.
I think we know what the next thing with Brickitect is going to be. It's going to be beans on toast.
Dude, seriously though, we just got an air fryer last night, so I've been trying this whole situation out. It's like, essentially, you can deep fry things without using any oil. And we made wings, and it was like kind of amazing. So I might be doing a series on that. I don't know.
Ooh.
Wow. That's quite cool.
Yeah, you guys, Sio Connor says, love beans on toast. Yeah, beans on toast. It's a classic. Yeah.
Beans on toast in the house.
Sandwiches are the best. Really good. But you know, my mum used to have banana sandwiches, like cut a banana up into slices and a banana sandwich.
Anything else on it? Just bananas or?
Bananas, yeah.
You should add peanut butter to that, and you'll take it to the next level.
Yeah, but a lot of time you could like,
they really like maple syrup was on everything, it seems like.
Really?
Well, do you not like maple syrup?
I mean, for breakfast foods, you'd have maple syrup on things, but not like anything outside of that typically.
Okay. Like when I went to America, like we went to like the breakfast in the hotel, everyone was just like dousing their food in maple syrup.
And you'd have it on like French toast, waffles, pancakes, sausage. you could, maple syrup essentially could cover your entire plate.
What about if you remember. Toast? That's real.
On toast, I think that's pushing it. I don't know if people do that.
Wow.
But you could pull it off.
A world where maple syrup is more appropriate to be on toast than baked beans. I don't want to live in that one.
I think most toast usually just has butter on it, maybe some cinnamon, but that's about it. We don't go too crazy with toast here.
I see a lot. It's like, I see people doing it. Toast, baked beans, and just like loads of grated cheese. That's why I see a lot. That's
nice. Yeah.
Oh, here you go. Sai says honey on toast. Have you guys pulled that off?
I haven't myself.
When I was a kid, I was not a massive fan of honey, though, or jam on toast as well. But you know, jam is different in America. Jam is jelly, is it? And then jelly.
Yeah, I don't know what the difference is necessarily. Like, we have jelly. Some people, I guess you could call it jam. There's like preserves. I don't know what the difference amongst those things are.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you can find it in space as well. So,
I mean, when I went to Star Wars Celebration in London, we were at our hotel and there was a couple Americans there, and this one woman, she was basically like the female version of Jim Blade. Like,
no.
It was inconceivable for her that people did things differently in different parts of the world. And she was kicking off because we had like a breakfast buffet there, and we had the bacon was back bacon. And apparently, like in America, you only have the one cut of bacon, which is streaky, what we call streaky bacon. But like in the UK, you can get like back bacon, streaky bacon, and middle bacon. And she was like, "That's ham. That's not bacon." And then this guy was like, no, it's bacon. Like, I'm a professional butcher. That is back bacon. And she's like, no, it should be like, Johnny's like, you're thinking of streaky bacon. I appreciate that. But, you know, there are different cuts of bacon. And she was like, no, this is an outrage. I paid for bacon. I was like, enough. I don't want ham. Who has ham for breakfast?
I like the term streaky bacon. I think I may start using that. we have bacon. You'd have ham. You'd have Canadian bacon. It's, I don't even know.
So here's the idea of our beans on toast with streaky bacon and a side of maple syrup.
Ooh, that's cheeky.
I mean, what bugs me, though, is when I go to London and I stay in a hotel there, I'm in London, the capital of England, and I can't get a full English breakfast half the time. I have to have a continental one. I'm like, what the friggin' hell?
Continental, which is confusing. Like,
what's your defense to that, Rogue? Do you have a defense to that?
Yeah.
Maybe you should just apologize to him.
Right. Craggle, I am so sorry.
Is it bad that you guys are we're all the representatives of our particular areas, and it may not be the best thing.
As a symbol of England, I am very sorry that you did not get your full English breakfast at the unnamed London hotel.
Some streaky bacon.
Good.
I'll remind
I was a lot more forgiven. Like, I was like, well, I guess a lot of people coming to London are from the continent, so they want to cater to them, as opposed to this woman when we did have like the full English buffet, and she was like, I don't want ham, I want bacon. Just like proper like kicking off.
Just when you said female Gin Blade, I just got this image in my mind that I wish I could get out of there right now.
Oh yeah.
No. Connor says they like a runny fried egg inside a croissant.
Okay, I could do that.
How would you say that word, Greg?
A croissant.
Okay.
How about croissant?
I was just wondering if it was like pronounced the same. Like, there's like, what was it? I mean, there's one thing I found out today is that you don't even have aubergines in America. You call them eggplants.
What is an aubergine?
It's basically an eggplant.
Why is it called an eggplant? Like, who is behind all this?
I don't know, but like, because aubergine is also a color and it's named after an aubergine. So, like, do you have the color aubergine over there?
We do not.
Wow.
How do you not have a color? That's
do you have a color called eggplant?
No. So you name it after the color, like you have an orange. Yeah. Like an orange is orange. That's weird. Aubergine. Never heard of that.
It's like a purple, basically. They like what the eggplant is, but yeah.
Collect your fandom gaming wants to know Craggle or Rogue, and I guess also Bricotech, just in case. So have you been to Windsor? To have a tour of the castle, then get McDonald's, which is right beside it. Craggle, have you guys been to Windsor before?
No, I haven't.
I've been to Legoland Windsor, but not the castle.
No, I was thinking then which castle I've been to, and it was Buckingham Palace I've been to, so no.
I'm jealous of you guys.
I've been to the Disney castle and the other Disney castle. And
we're not talking about the one that's on your desk right now. That one doesn't count.
I convinced this guy when I went to a festival in Leeds in England. There was a guy there who was like, do you live on a farm because you're in Wales? You smell by sheep. And I actually convinced him I lived in the castle. So
there you go.
I mean, I'm not far from a castle. But there's lots of castles in Wales. So
you could live in there.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Windsor Castle. I've heard it's quite cool, but no, a bit of Legoland Windsor.
I saw something about a Scottish breakfast. I kind of missed it.
I think it's haggis, is what it's called. It's like a delicacy in Scotland, I believe.
Oh, so Sunshine on a Rainy Brick said, full Scottish breakfast is about the same, but even I can't get my head round black pudding. You know what black pudding is, right, Greg?
I don't.
It's fried pig's blood.
Yep.
Oh, I'm out. I will say, though, this show has been very informative for a lot of things. I feel like we've entertained and we've educated all at the same time in some ways.
I feel like we've all come a long way, you know, emotionally, physically, grammatically, you know.
I think so. And it's been fun. We're now at over an hour and a half onto this. Wow. Ideally, it was going to be like an hour, but we have such a good time. We just keep rolling with it.
We learn new things every week.
So we need to pitch this off to the people for next week. Again, when this gets uploaded, which will be like right after this is done. If you have any kind of crazy UK question that you want Craggle or Rogue to ask me next time so I can fail miserably at it and get educated on it. Or if you have any topics, if you're from the UK that you'd like us to cover or any Lego stuff, throw it out there in the comments so we have something to go off of next week. Any other comments or things that you guys have to say for this episode?
In general, just thank you all for watching. It's been really fun answering your questions. And also as well, I suggest maybe check out our Instagrams during the week as well. We might be posting things here and there about possible topics and stuff. And again, any cool questions you have, just, you know, fire away. It'd be really fun to answer some really funny questions. So, and absolutely, we might, you know, it'd be cool to see funny comments as well during the stream. So comment of the stream would be really fun to do as well. Just little funny jokes and stuff. So yeah.
I should say, I also link these guys' channels down below if you want to subscribe to them. They're both really good guys, as you could tell here. So give them a subscribe over there. And I guess on that...
Yeah, thumbs up.
Thumbs up, yeah. I guess on that, I guess we'll see you next week, same time, same place, on Bricks and Brits, episode 3.
Bye!